The title of the message this morning is Christ's Christmas Message. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5 says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified to the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the clear statements of thy dear Son when he entered into the world. He came knowing why he came. He came knowing from whence he came. And he came to do thy will. O Father, open our understanding to this truth today. Take this word now and speak to each of our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. The passage that we read together is a conversation between God the Father and God the Son when he entered into the world. Now, this is most important to us, for it gives us an insight into what is called in the Word of God the mystery of godliness. The book of the Hebrews gives to us the blessings of the new covenant, along with the glories that pertain to the mediator of the covenant, even our Lord Jesus Christ. The first four verses of Hebrews chapter 10, they mention the shadows that characterize the covenant of the law, the Old Testament era. But now he turns from the shadows to the solid realities that are found in our blessed Lord. Now the things that are here for us are so wonderfully different from the shadowy uncertainties of the Old Testament era. Now the writer bases what he says on the 40th Psalm, Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. And here the Spirit of God rends the veil, as it were, and reveals the Father and the Son in conference. They are drawing the details of Christ's descent. And John Wesley said something concerning the coming of the Lord. He said, Christ was contracted to the span of a virgin's womb. The mighty God becoming a baby. Now, as Paul writes to the Hebrews, and I believe Paul happens to be the writer to the Hebrews, he mentions that these Hebrews should not be strangers to this truth, to the truths of the Old Testament, for the coming of Christ was foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. Christ's life was controlled by the book. Oh, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. Now, what possible excuse could any of the Hebrews give for not being familiar with the book and to turn back to Judaism, the shadows, instead of living in the realities of that which the new covenant has brought? Now, the argument really, well, it doesn't say it, but it's inferred. If David could understand these things 1,000 years before Christ, how much more the Hebrews, who were then living in the realities of Calvary, and all the things that transpired in Calvary, how couldn't they understand these things if David could 1,000 years before they happened? For you see, in quoting Psalm 40, what he was doing is giving forth the reality of the person of God's dear Son. Now we have indicted the Hebrews of the first century. Now what about us? How much more should we be living for Christ and enjoying the blessings of the new covenant, having had 2,000 years just about of church history and the blessings that have been accumulated with Christian testimony? Oh, what a blessing this is. When he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And my mind this week was dwelling on that one word, prepared. We need to consider what he said to the Father. A body hast thou prepared me. In the eternal counsels of the triune God, it was resolved that the Son of God would become incarnate. When was Christ born? Oh, people argue over the date of Christ's birth. Was he born on December 25th? Was he born in winter? You see, that's all immaterial. Paul, when he wrote to the Galatians, told us when Christ was born. He said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. You see, when the fullness of the time was come, a body was prepared. Now that word prepared is an interesting word. It is translated in various ways in the Bible, that very word. You see, Paul says in Hebrews 11, verse 2, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. And that word framed there, prepared, same Greek word. The worlds were framed by the word of God. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 22, when speaking of the reprobate, he says that they are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. And the word fitted there is the same word, prepared, prepared for destruction. And then in Hebrews 13, you have the word perfect. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, prepared unto every good work to do his will. And then Peter uses a word and he says, the God of all grace, strengthen, perfect you. And that word perfect again is that same Greek word that is rendered here in our text. A body hast thou prepared me. Now there's some who, when they study the 40th Psalm, and they put it alongside of Hebrews chapter 10, they find a discrepancy. For in Psalm 40, a few words are added. Mine ears hast thou opened. You find in Psalm 40 that are omitted in Hebrews chapter 10. But I think it's in order because the ear is a member of the body whereby we hear commands that we are to obey. Even faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, when we think of our blessed Lord, he is God manifest in the flesh. In his divine nature alone, he was co-equal with the Father. And it was impossible for him to become under the law in his divine nature. In his divine nature, he is the lawgiver as co-equal and co-eternal and co-extensive with the Father. Therefore, another nature was prepared, a human nature, in which Christ would render submission to the Father and live as a man among men. Oh, friends, when we read a verse like this, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. It is through the ears that instructions are given and obedience rendered to those instructions. Isaiah chapter 50, one of the great servant chapters of the prophecy of Isaiah, gives to us an insight into our blessed Lord in relation to this text. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." He could say, "He has opened my ear. I am obedient to the commands of the Father. A body hast thou prepared me." That prepared body was for the purpose of becoming one of us, in order that he might redeem us, number one, and number two, that he might be our merciful and faithful high priest on our behalf before the throne of God. Now concerning Christ, it's interesting. In Psalm 40, they say, and it's so true, the love slave of Exodus chapter 21, who when his years of serving were expired, when he could go out free, he could say, "I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children, I will not go out free, I will serve you forever." And he was then taken to the door, and his ear was pierced with an awl, and he became that man's servant forever. And it speaks of Christ as a servant of Jehovah. And in those great servant chapters in Isaiah, between chapter 40 and chapter 66, Isaiah 53 is one of those great servant chapters. Isaiah chapter 42 is another. And you can go through these and see the Christ as a servant of Jehovah and as a servant of his people. But you see, in all things Christ has a preeminence. In Exodus 21, it was the ear that was pierced. But when you read Psalm 40, "Mine ears, both of them, in everything, he has the preeminence." Now the origin, friends, of the salvation of the church is in a peculiar way ascribed to God the Father. We talk about the will of the Father. We talk about the grace of the Father, the wisdom of the Father, the good pleasure of the Father, the love of the Father sending the Son to be the Savior of the world. And when we think of all this, everywhere the eternal springs of the eternal God magnify themselves, his purpose, his power, his grace, and his love in preparing a body for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was the Holy Spirit that by whom the human nature of Christ was prepared. His body was prepared, not by the laws of natural procreation, but by the supernatural power of the Spirit of God acting upon and within Mary. Thus, we have a prepared body with such a human nature that he might be able to be a merciful and faithful high priest for us and minister to us day by day. He is going to accomplish his work in his people, and we can look back and say, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." But when we read a passage like this, "Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me." When you think of that word prepared, think of all the words of the New Testament. "I go to prepare a place for you. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, when we take these words, a body hast thou prepared me, it brings us to the next verse, and it says, in Hebrews 10, verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, oh, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. Here in this passage we can say that Christ comprehended all the sacrifices under the Mosaic covenant, those for the expiation of sin, and those for worship. And he could say, thou wouldst not. He comprehended them all. And we have to look at those words, thou wouldst not, and thou hast had no pleasure. For then we are able to behold afresh the glories of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those words, thou wouldst not, they declare to us that God had never designed the Levitical offerings to be a perfect satisfaction for sin. For we read in Hebrews 10, in the first four verses, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sin. You say, why did God design them and order the blood of bullocks, the blood of lambs, for the children of Israel? Listen, friends, he did it in order that they would not go to hell. You think that through. Here we see the mighty love of God. He permits something that doesn't bring him pleasure for the sake of man not being lost. Thou wouldst not. But then when we come to those words, thou hast had no pleasure. And those words must be rendered relatively rather than absolutely. And it's so good to be able to see this. God had required these sacrifices at the hands of Israel. He had imposed them, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 10, until the time of Reformation. And the reason that he did it, they pictured that blessed one who is to come. But now that he's come, there is no more pleasure of any kind found in animal sacrifices, for Christ came in the fulfillment of all that they foreshadowed. And when you think of a shadow, you think of a shadow of something that's real. If you're walking through a field without any trees, on a day when the sun is shining, you will never find a shadow. There are no shadows of trees or anything else. Why not? Why, because there's no reality. But when we talk about the Old Testament sacrifices being a shadow, that means somewhere there's reality. And the reality is in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in the midst of this, in saying to God, those sacrifices can't take away sin. Oh, I come. In the volume of the book, it's written to me to do thy will, O God. These words express a number of things. They express the readiness. They express the willingness of the Son of God to do all that had been ordained to the making of a full satisfaction to God and a full satisfaction on behalf of everyone who will ever believe in Jesus Christ. Full atonement can it be. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Now, it was a gracious design of God, not only to remove all the effects of sin, both original and personal, the original sin of Adam, and the personal sins that are followed in each of our lives, for they provoked his judicial hatred of us. For the word of God declares in Ephesians 2 verse 3, We were children of wrath. Children of wrath. And God hated us as well as our sins. For God hates all workers of iniquity, I read in the fifth Psalm. But when our Lord said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God," it would, our blessed Lord would not only remove the effects of sin, both original and personal, but thanks be unto God, he would provide a righteousness for us that gives us a perfect standing in his very holy presence. I don't know if that thrills you, but it thrills me. For I have access into the presence of God. So you see, Christ not only predestinated to forgive us, but to also adopt us so that we are graciously accepted as sons in the family. And that's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, I come to do thy will, O God. You see, it was a will of God which the Son of God came here to execute. And that will of God was that eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, God could have removed every sinner and sent them to hell without exception, without saving a one, and be perfectly just, perfectly holy, perfectly righteous. God does not have to save anybody. God spared not the angels of sin. Here we see wonder of wonders, the grace of God. You see, to hate sin is a very act of God's holy nature. For he is holy. And a hatred of sin is just the activity of his very nature. But to express that hatred by punishing sin is an act of his will. And then I read this text. I see the blessed truth of substitution, that instead of God exacting the penalty of sin from us, he exacted it from the Savior. A body hast thou prepared me. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. You know, we sing a hymn occasionally. I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, I'll be your stay. Find in me your all in all." Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. When he cometh into the world, this is what he said to the Father. You talk about a baby with the faculties of deity. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I know why I came. I came to accomplish your will in the volume of the book. I came to live a life controlled by the book. And the Father could say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The triune God raised him from the dead and exalted him to heaven's throne. He is the Lord. That's a wondrous story. He is the Lord of glory. He paid it all. A body hast thou prepared me. And if we separate that work from his first advent, from his coming as a babe in Bethlehem, we've missed it. We've missed it. Oh, may God enable us to grasp it and to rejoice in these wondrous truths. they are indeed the truths of God's matchless grace. Let's stand together for the benediction. Our Father, when we consider thy blessed Son, who he is, what he came to do, his perfect obedience, his matchless love, his wondrous grace, the outworking of thy will, O God, we stand in utter amazement that he would do this for the likes of us. We bow before your grace. From our hearts at this time of the year, when our minds are occupied with him coming, we can never separate his coming from Calvary. And we pray, our God, that thou wilt dismiss us with the truths of these things ringing in our ears and stirring our hearts to bow and worship before him who once was a babe in a manger and who occupied a cross on Calvary's hill and a borrowed tomb, but who is now enthroned above, King of kings, Lord of lords. Dismiss us with thy blessing. As we commend this company to thee and to the word of thy grace, which is able to build us up and give us an inheritance among all that are sanctified, through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.